Praise the Lord bless each and every one this evening. We do give everyone a warm welcome in our service tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to welcome all those listening in by way of Facebook, our church website, and those that maybe will hear it later by way of YouTube. May the Lord bless you, whether you're here in Ireland, Northern Ireland, South of Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales, America, Germany, Australia, New Zealand, wherever you're tuning in from, may the Lord bless you. And we do trust the Lord will help us with his word tonight. I want tonight to talk about faith for salvation. And specifically, I want to talk about 52 Bible truths about salvation that was lost through the Dark Ages. But God, during the Reformation, restored, brought back these great truths, specifically through the ministry and the man, Martin Luther. I want to look at it tonight. I won't deal specifically everything about Martin Luther. Time would not permit me to do that. But some of these things, many of them we know today, but just think of it, during the Dark Ages, they did not know these things until the Spirit of God renewed them and restored them back again. We do take for granted many things and think they were always known. They were in the first church age, but then through the Dark Ages, many great truths of the simple way of salvation were lost, but God has restored them. I want tonight to read Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17 of Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we do bow before you tonight in the lovely and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for these great and wonderful promises from the word of God, and we bless thee that down through the dark ages, even though these things seem to have been lost, God, rich in mercy, shone forth his marvellous light through the true gospel again. Father, this evening, will you help us with your word? Will you help us with these truths? Will you touch and bless the lives of men and women tonight? And above all, save lost souls. Restore the backslidden. Heal the sick and the afflicted. These things we do sincerely ask in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I take now the blessed Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank you that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one listening in tonight. And just to say again, we're looking at faith for salvation, but specifically 52 Bible truths about salvation. Personal faith for salvation was the heartbeat of the early first century Christians' relationship with God. By the third century, this vibrant faith was superseded by ecclesiastical imperialism that continued to dominate through the Dark Ages. The concept of individual faith in God was not birthed in the lives of the people until Martin Luther's Reformation was seated by his 95 theses in 1517. We know he nailed those 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And this was most certainly the start of the Reformation. We also know by study of the seven church ages, and most true Bible preachers will all agree, that Martin Luther was indeed the messenger to the Sardinian church age, praise God, or Sardis church age, Revelations 3, verse 1 to 6. I'm not dealing with the church ages or the church age, that specific one, the fifth one tonight. But I'm just stating the facts of how the Reformation came in and how the Spirit of God moved. The first century Christians believed that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, praise God. That's what they believed. They believed it was the power of God unto salvation, praise God. And they believed what we have stated from Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, praise God. They also believed that by grace through faith are you saved, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They believed the just shall live by faith alone in Christ alone. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Romans 1 verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3 verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That simple faith in Christ was finally extinguished under the ecclesiastical subjugation of the people by the political religious hierarchy. Martin Luther's Reformation in 1517 was principally a revolt against the state church domination and a challenge for believers to examine the scriptures for themselves, something that had been forbidden by the church pontificates for centuries. And let me say that the Bible we have and the Bible that's in Germany today is because of a man called Martin Luther. That's why they have the Bible today, praise God. As people rediscovered the scriptures for themselves by reading them, by faith for salvation was created in their hearts, and they began to experience the reality of Jesus Christ in their lives. Being a Christian was no longer a formal affiliation with an ecclesiastical order called the so-called church, but it was once again a living, vital relationship with Jesus Christ. 59 truths about salvation was restored at the time of the Reformation. The living faith was treasured by the first century believers, but then it was lost during the Dark Ages. Now it has been restored since the Reformation. There is the 52 scriptural truths that we want to look at tonight about this faith that are fundamental to knowing Christ and to walking with him. Many of us this evening take these things for granted, but I want you to think that during them dark ages, these 52 truths were lost. Now, I won't go through every one of them tonight because there's many scriptures I want to quote and many statements I want to make, and I want you to write down if you want to or listen along as I read the Word of God and share with you these great truths that God, during the Reformation, restored to his people. And we know if you read the testimony and the history of Martin Luther, that Martin Luther was a monk of the Augustine order. He could find no peace with God, and one of his superiors told him to read the Word of God. As he read the Word of God, that scripture, the just shall live by faith, really touched his heart in such a way that he was converted to the Lord and saved by the power of God. And the glorious light of the gospel changed a man that was an absolute pitch black darkness in soul. He lay prostrate many a time on a cell floor, and he did penance and all types of things to gain favor with God and again salvation. But God, rich in mercy, transformed and translated the life and heart and the person of Martin Luther by the power of one scripture. God's power through the Holy Spirit touched that man in such a way that he was changed from the tip of his head to the very soles of his feet. And with boldness and with great faith and great courage, moved by the Spirit of God, he wrote 95 theses and nailed them to that door at Wittenberg, praise God. And there the fire and the power of God through the Holy Spirit began to fall and began to move. And countless hundreds and thousands of men and women were gathered in out of darkness into the true glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a Savior we serve tonight. What a man Martin Luther was. It really touches me deeply when I think and study and read of Martin Luther, because when I consider the darkness of men and women are in today, and they don't realize it and they don't see it, and yet there is hope, glorious hope, when God can turn a man and save a man like Martin Luther. God can touch and turn any man. Thank God for the light of the gospel. This evening I want to take us on a journey into these 52 great truths. Maybe another night I'll take the 95 theses, but not tonight. And maybe another night I'll take Martin Luther as a messenger in the fifth church age, but I can't tonight. I want to deal with these 52 Bible truths on salvation. They're simple, but they're profound, and they're true, and the power of God's upon them, and the power of God is in them, for they are the Word of God. Praise God. Number one, every single one of us, men and women, were unsaved before we received Jesus Christ. That's a number one fact. Every one of us without Christ are lost. Nothing can save us. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, we're all guilty before God under the penalty of death. Every single man, every single woman, born of a woman, is under the penalty of death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number three, but God loved us so much, he didn't want us to perish. Praise God. God loved us so much. Now I want you to think, I'm bringing this in the light of the dark ages. These are simple to us today, but yet profound, that men and women didn't know these simple statements and simple truths, but thank God for them. Number three, but God loved us so much, he didn't want us to perish. 2 Peter 3:9, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Number four, God offered his very best to prove his love for every one of us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God loved the world. God loved Martin Luther in his darkness of sin, in his a monk of the Augustine order, in works and rituals and programs and false worships, but God loved them. And God shone the light upon his soul. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number five, Christ was God's gift to us, and Christ died on the cross for you and for me. Jesus Christ died for you, and he died for me. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Number six, we had to realize that our sins had separated us from a holy God. Isaiah 59 verse 2, but our iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. Number 7, knowing that our sins cost God his only Son, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, giving his precious life's blood to save us. We were sorry, really sorry, and we repented of our sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 to 10. Now I rejoice that ye are under, that ye were made sorrow, but that your sorrow turned to repentance. For ye were made sorrow after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, and to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Martin Luther, the Holy Spirit worked sorrow into them, but that sorrow, thank God, worked repentance and the glorious deliverance of the power of God unto salvation. Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you nay, but except a man repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God restored this great truth. Repentance is still a message that must be and needs to be repeated. We cannot continue on in sin of adultery or fornication or any other type of sin, whether it's moral sin or physical sin. I tell you, it's sin before God, and men and women, if they're going to enter heaven, must repent of that sin, whatever it may be, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 8, we must confess our sins to Jesus Christ to be cleansed. You cannot confess them, no point confessing them to some boy with a collar on him. The boy with a collar needs to confess his own, but every single man and every single woman needs to confess their sins to the Lord Jesus Christ to be cleansed. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he, Jesus Christ that is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number 9, we must recognize Jesus Christ knocking at the door of our hearts. We must recognize the Lord knocking at the door of our hearts, and we must open that door to Christ so that he can come in. Revelations 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and he will sup with me, and I will sup with him and he with me. When the Holy Spirit knocks the door of your heart, when the Spirit of God moves you, you must respond to the Spirit of God, and you must do what it says in Revelations 3:20 and open the door of your heart. Praise God. Number 10, we then receive Jesus Christ and become God's child. Praise God. John 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Number 11, we become a new creature. We don't turn over a leaf or none of that stuff or make a vital decision to do something different tomorrow. None of that will work. We become new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Number 12. We know we are born again because we have received Jesus Christ. Look at the Lord Jesus' own words on this truth, and you'll know this is the truth. John 3 verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. John chapter 1 verse 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name, which were born not of blood or the will of the flesh nor the will of man, but of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Number 13, we believe the powerful message of the gospel that saves us. We believe the powerful message of the gospel. Do you realize that many today do not believe that? And during the dark ages, the powerful, simple message of the gospel was lost. Now you might think, oh, we know it all today, but hold your horses for one moment. Many people are preaching today, but they're not preaching the simple gospel. They're preaching big things. Big things here and big things there. That's good. But if they're not preaching the simple gospel, then this number 13th restored truth, they don't have it. And I tell you, we need to be preaching all these truths that God's brought back to us. The simple truth of the message of the gospel that it saves. No works, no programs, but the power of the gospel. Romans 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Number 14, we believe in the name of Jesus Christ because of the record of the Gospels. Here's another thing we take for granted. They didn't have the record of the Gospels. The ordinary man and woman did not have the Gospel. We are so privileged. Many of us have Bibles covered in dust. We don't even take the time to read them. But there is light and truth in the Gospels to save. Praise God. We believe in the name of Jesus Christ because of the record of the Gospels. John 20, verse 21. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And believing you might have life through his name. Number 15. We simply call on Jesus Christ's name and we are saved. That's how simple salvation is. You need nobody to help you, only the Lord. We simply call on the name of Jesus Christ and we're saved. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Number 16. We must recognize that Jesus Christ is the one and only way to God. Oh my, that's wonderful. That Jesus Christ is the one and only way to God. There is no other way. No works, no program, no rituals, no earthly priest, but only the high priest, Jesus Christ. Can we come to God through him? That is God's only way. John 14 verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Praise God. Number 17, we know that this is the one and only way for salvation, no other. The one and only way for salvation, Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. What are you trusting in tonight? If you're trusting in a church, it'll fail. If you're trusting in a prophet, that'll fail as well. Now he can point you wherever he wants, but I tell you, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That's the only one you can trust in tonight. Praise God. Number 18. We put our faith in Christ alone as our own and personal Savior, by faith alone, in Christ alone. Number 18, Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. For by grace ye are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Number 19, we believe the Lord comes into our life. Praise God. We believe the Lord comes into our life. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 to 18. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from amongst them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And I tell you, Martin Luther came out and he came in. Oh, hallelujah. What a statement. What a truth. He came out of the system and he came in to Jesus Christ. Praise God. And I tell you, there's a people today that came out and they've come in and they're going to go up. They've come out and they've come in, and the Spirit of God's going to say, out of Revelations, come up hither. Praise God. They're going to leave this world behind. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. They're leaving. Praise God. The seal of God's upon the true bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sealed in unto the day of redemption, the rapture, the catching away of the true bride of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come in, and then we're going to hear the voice, come up hither. Oh, what a message tonight, praise God. We believe that the Lord comes into our life, number 19. Number 20, we do not trust in any good works of self-righteousness to be saved. That's number 20. We don't trust in them. There's a lot of people that are trusting in works tonight. They're trusting in programs. They're trusting in lots of things. But I tell you, the 20th statement that was restored, we do not trust in any good works of self-righteousness to be saved. Isaiah 64 verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Ephesians 2 verse 9. None of works, lest any man should boast. Here's number 21. We are saved only by God's mercy. That's how we're saved. Only by God's mercy. Titus 3, verse 5 to 7. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Praise God. Number 22, we know that Christ's death justifies us before a holy God. Christ's death justifies us before a holy God. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 23. Praise God. We know the precious blood removes, eradicates, absolves from punishment our sins forever. I'm going to say it again. Number 23. We know that his precious blood remits, removes, eradicates, and absolves from punishment our sins forever. Praise God. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Number 24. We knew we're cleansed from all sin. Now you say, I know these things, but these are the things the Lord brought back. Simple but profound. We know we're cleansed from sin. Revelations 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I want to say there's no other blood could cleanse you this evening. Only the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. And he goes on to say, we cease not to give praise. Praise God. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from sin, and we need to praise God for that tremendous faith. Number 25. We know our sins are put away and forgotten forever. 1 John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ was God's appointed taker away of sin. Psalms 103 verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so he removed our transgressions, healed. Isaiah 53 verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Praise God. Now just a few more and I'm going to come to a close. I don't want to hold you too long this evening. Praise God. Number 27. With our sins punished and removed or obliterated, we know they can never ever condemn us no more. They can never condemn us no more. They're obliterated. They are removed. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hebrews 10 verse 18. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Christ has been offered once for all. Romans 8 verse 35 to 39. And I'm going to come to a close. One more and I'm coming to a close. Romans 8 verse 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number 28, and I'm going to have to close. My time's gone, and I don't want to hold this too long. I trust you've got something from tonight. We know when we accept Jesus Christ that we receive his life. We know when we accept Jesus Christ, we receive his life. 1 John chapter 5 verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Praise God. John chapter 5 verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Praise God. Now I know I've read you many scriptures. I make no apologies for that. I wanted to read you these. The Lord willing, we'll continue perhaps next Wednesday night with the rest of these 52 great truths. We take these things for granted. Many a Christian will say, oh, I know it. Yes, but there was people that don't know it. There was a dark age that they didn't know it. Remember, they didn't have the Bible. Remember, there was only certain hierarchies that had the Word of God. But Martin Luther's vision was that the common man, the plowman, and the girl would have their own Bible, their own Word of God, that they could read the Word of God themselves, and that the Word of God could bless them and save them. For there is life in the Word of God, for God's Word is truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are you reading the Word of God? Many people read lots of books, books that shouldn't be read. Many people read lots of magazines, magazines that should be burnt and never read, should never be let, even in their homes. And we know by way of media, there's so many things to see and read. But I want to challenge every one of us, you that see it as well. How often do you read the Word of God? Is the Word of God your breakfast? Is it your dinner? Is it your supper? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you feasting upon the Word of God? Every one of us should give time each day to read at least a verse from the Word of God. As Ian Paisley once said, a text a day keeps the devil away. Praise God. And we need to read the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. Those of us that are preachers and servants of the Lord, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a minister that rightly divideth the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little, so is the Word of God. Thank God that God restored through the Reformation these 52 great striking gospel truths that we have today and we have tonight. Thank God for a man called Jesus, and thank God for this wonderful servant, Martin Luther. A man that God's heart, that God touched the heart of. A man that God changed the life of. A man that the power of the Holy Spirit struck him and moved him and converted him on the strength of one scripture. Thus how powerful God's word is. The just shall live by faith, by Christ alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. Praise God. I hope you have enjoyed this wee word this evening. We're going to continue next Wednesday. Praise God. And I just am blessed when I read the Word of God and study the Word of God and read of wonderful men of God like Martin Luther. Oh, praise God. 95 Theses. We'll take that another night. We'll look at them. Harry announced everything. Everything. All that was against Scripture. He renounced it. And he protested all. Praise God. And his foundation was absolutely the Word of God. I tell you, that's how it all began. The blazing fire of God fell in Wittenberg, Germany. Praise God. Oh, I tell you, it's wonderful how we need the fire of God to fall today. How we need the power of God to fall today. How we need in this day and in the generation the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I know that many Christians are saying it can't happen in our time. Imagine you tell that to Martin Luther. Imagine you have said to Martin Luther, it couldn't happen, Martin, in your time. I want to tell you, God is no respecter of persons. And he says in his word, I will work a work in their day that they shall not believe it, though they see it. God can and God will work today if we are sincere, if we will seek the face of God, if we will quit reading the magazines and start reading the Word of God, if we will spend the time in the Word of God and in the upper room that we spend in other things. God would have already moved by his power. God would already have moved by his spirit. I tell you, there's a lot of people and they think they're here forever. And they're building their own kingdoms. But I want to tell you that every kingdom on this earth will crumble and fall. And there is a kingdom which none of this world. Jesus says, I'm of another kingdom. Hallelujah. And I tell you, he's coming again for a people that's made themselves ready. The bride, Revelation says, has made herself ready. Are you ready tonight? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you praying? Or are you too tired and too weary? I want to tell you, if you're tired and you're weary, I have a cure for you. I want you to hear this. I have a cure for you tonight. If you're tired and you're weary, I have a cure for you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Praise God. That's the cure for weariness. The cure for weariness is to wait upon the mighty God of heaven. And when you wait upon the Lord, he shall renew your strength like the eagle. You'll soar again. You'll climb the mountain again. You'll fly in the heavenlies again. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, I trust that the Holy Spirit's speaking to somebody tonight. I know some people think I'm an old agent, but I'm not worried. I tell you, I know what it was like to be away from God. I spent time in jail twice, but God saved me. God delivered me. And God has kept me for over 30 years to preach the gospel. And I wouldn't change one thing. The only thing I'd change, I wished I'd done more for him. Hallelujah. I wish I'd prayed more and read more. And I'll tell you, if God's people, we need to turn afresh to the Lord. It's time to break up the fallow ground and seek the Lord. Oh, my friend, this evening we need to really turn to God. The evil that's happening today, all this plague, this COVID-19, there's a monetary, there's a collapse, a financial collapse is imminent. It is imminent. Hear me tonight. There's a financial collapse which is imminent to take place. We are living in the last days. The mark of the beast is coming in, and we need the seal of God like never before. And the seal of God is not a handshake or joining a lodge or a church, but the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And God is coming for a bride that was ready with her lamps trimmed and burning and filled with oil. Not time for the oil to run out, but it's time to have her vessels clean and full for the Master's return. Jesus Christ is coming again. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Is your garments washed in the blood of the Lamb? Backslider tonight, come back to the Lord. Backslider tonight, the Lord's love for you has never changed. The Lord loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you the same today as he always loved you, and he's forever married to the backslider. God wants you to come back tonight. He wants you to come back to the fold. And the Lord will take you with open arms. And he'll receive you just like the prodigal son. When the father saw him coming back, he said, have a feast. Prepare the best fatted calf. Get me the best garment. Get me a ring for his finger. For my son was dead, but now he is alive again. My friend, this evening, Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. God sent the Reformation so that we could have the true gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. We don't need a modern day program. We don't need a disco for a church. We need the old fashioned gospel preaching and the power of the Holy Spirit, the way the disciples preached it and the way the early church preached it. And even through those dark ages it was lost. But God in 1517 restored again the gospel to his people. And he gave us a great truth. And it is always a truth then. And it's a truth tonight. The just shall live by faith. My friend, come to Jesus tonight. He'll justify you. That means it'll be as though you never sinned. In the first place, come to the Savior. Come to the Lord. Jesus loves you. He loves you. His love never changes. It can't increase or diminish. It remains the same because it is eternal love. Just as God's eternal, his love is eternal. Oh, I tell you, those of us that saved, we need to throw our arms round our brother and our sister and let them know the love of God, that God really loves them. And God can really touch them. Praise God. I want you to bow your heads tonight. I've said a lot of things I never planned to say. But I just trust that the Lord this evening will bless all that's listening in tonight, all that's hearing the word of God tonight. Praise God. I want you to come and bow your head. And if you're not saved this evening, if you're not saved or you're backslidden, you can come back to the Lord. The Lord loves you. If you're away from God, maybe your life's messed up. Look, how much could a life be messed up? You're looking at a man that was in jail. You're looking at a man that was suicidal. You're looking at a man that thought nobody loved him, had given up all hope. And in the dark of the night, in the dark of the night, when all hope seemed to be gone, I heard the most beautiful voice. And that voice said to this man, I love you and gave myself for you. And I want to tell you this evening that the word of God says we love him because he first loved us. Jesus Christ loves you tonight and he gave himself for you. A ransom for many. That's the Bible. That's the word of God. The Bible is our truth. The Bible's, that's what we're standing on this evening. The word of God. No creed. But the Bible, praise God. No creed, sorry, but Christ. No book, but the Bible, praise God. Bow your heads for you are. Be reverent before God this evening. Be sincere. Be real. Pray this prayer with me if you want to be saved tonight. Heavenly Father, I call upon your name now, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I recognize I'm a sinner, that I'm lost and undone. But I repent before you now of all my sins. And I ask you into my heart, Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now. I confess you, Lord Jesus, with my mouth. I believe, Lord Jesus, in my heart that God raised you from the dead. I confess you now and believe you now. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Keep your heads bowed, wherever you are. I believe he's a Savior. He's a healer. He's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And he most certainly is a soon coming King. If you need a touch tonight, maybe you say, brother, you prayed and you prayed. Well, I'm praying again. For the Bible says, effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Here's what else it says. It says, cease not to pray. Pray continually. Let your requests be made known unto the Lord. Cease not to pray. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ this evening, I pray for all those that are suffering and afflicted. I break the spirit of infirmity over their lives. In the name and by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, touch that man. Touch that woman. Touch that boy. Touch that girl. Restore and renew the backslidden tonight. Back to faith in you. Back to relationship. Where they'll walk with the Lord again. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. I want you to have the children near those that's family. I want to pray for the children. For God's protection, we've heard of outbreaks here and outbreaks there, but we are believing. We are believing. When I see the blood, I will pass over thee. Bow your heads. Bring your children near. Put your hands on them if you're near them, your children. Lay your arms around them. Love them in the Lord. Praise God. Isn't the Lord wonderful? I just feel such a presence of the Holy Spirit this evening, right in this very room. Oh, praise God. The Bible said, Jesus said, suffer not the little ones to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Maybe you have a wayward boy or a son. Many of us have. Jesus can reach them, and he can save them, and he can deliver them. Ye and your house shall be saved. There's the words we read in the book of Acts. When the servant was converted, God's servant said, ye and your house shall be saved. Praise God. Father in heaven tonight, Lord, you see every little boy, every little girl that's in our hearts, that's on our minds, that the parents have round about them, this evening, sons and daughters, nephews and nieces, all those that near and dear to those listening in this evening. Father, I'm asking you for the mighty hand of God to go out over them tonight, the power of the Holy Spirit, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, to go out over every one of them and to cover them with that blood. I ask for your protection upon them in Jesus' precious name. Father, I pray for the nurses and the doctors on the front line. Protect them. Watch over them in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your people now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one. Don't forget Sunday morning, live drive-in church. If you're free, come along. Bring a friend. You're welcome. We had a lovely testimony from Brother Pelly last Sunday morning. Bella Cross, the full details is on Omega Ministry, Banbridge website. Drive-in church, 11 a.m. Also on Facebook, but don't come along. Come in person. Come in your car. You'll be safe in your vehicle. You can hear the Word of God live. Then in the evening at 4:30, we will be live again on Facebook on our church webpage. We're going to continue on. We have no hall we can go till. But we still have to go forward. We have to go on. We're looking for a site. Praise God, in the Banbridge area. If you know somebody with a site, or you know somebody that God's moved on, let us know. Give us the information. We're going to go forward for God. We're not going back. We're going forward for God. Forward for the kingdom of God. The word of God will not return void. Praise God. God bless you all. As our brother Gary faithfully leads us out in song, may the Lord bless you all tonight. In Jesus' name. God bless you all.
To Adam's reign.
I'm at your lips and strong. Forevermore endure the angel song. The ocean trail
and where
the
sky is
a parchment made,
where every stone on earth
a quill
and every
hand a scribe by trade. The law of God above would train the old Gentile.
Nor could the
scroll contain the whole sky. Love of God, how rich and pure, measureless and strong. Forevermore endure the same God, how rich and pure, measureless and strong, forevermore endure
the same.